in the morning and in the evening and at noon times. By chanting Hare Krishna, your life actually starts to come into focus for yourself, and you can understand what the point is for you to be in this world in the first place. It's this mystery of ourselves to ourselves that causes us such great disturbance. To be a mystery to your own self, that's very perplexing. And the only way out of such perplexity and the embarrassment that such perplexity causes is to absorb yourself in sense gratification, lust and intoxication. That's the usual way to try to escape dealing with yourself, to escape understanding that you don't know why you're here. So I wish we discuss our conversation a little bit. Well, it gives a good analysis of material nature. Well, you just say yes or no.
Yeah.
You sure? So Errol was describing how, in typical consciousness of, you know, karmic work, okay, I really worked hard today. So now, since I worked so hard, I deserve to get smashed. You just see this mentality that I deserve to enjoy the fruits of my labor, right? I work so hard. Now, in honor of my working so hard, I should, you know, do myself in. It's amazing how we get that kind of feeling, you know, that since I work so hard, now I deserve to really get, you know, really get drunk. Can you explain this? Not, you know, this is not personal. We're just having an analysis on how material nature works. Explain how the mentality of since I work so hard, I deserve to what? To obliterate yourself? Or? So, can you present this feeling? How does it feel? You hadn't done that for how long? But finally, you let me just. So, how did you present it to yourself? So you can see how the mind rationalizes, presents it to yourself. But I'll just wait. What was the first thing you did? Just that. So what did you have in mind when you first thought of the moon? Party guy. So you had all planned, just a few drinks. Huh? That's, see, this is how the mind works. You know, just a couple of drinks, that's all. To separate you from the gross people, right? He was just going to take a couple of drinks, as opposed to the, you know, the mudhas, the fools who really go for it. He's the mode of goodness. So. They have organic beer there too. Raise some organic grains. This beer was produced from grains that were not grown with any chemical fertilizer. Organically certified. So that's very kind that Harold's giving this example of how the booster energy works, so that we can all learn from these experiences. Can we have a little air in here? So, you hadn't been overwhelmed by this urge before that, since I have worked so hard, now I should party.
The urge was the strong urge.
And all of a sudden, one Friday night it just came roaring.
Yeah.
And you just gave in without a fight, huh? Said, yeah, up ahead. So, alright, so, you started walking down like Courtney place, and you went to your favorite haunt months ago, and you walk in and...
And I walked in and saw these five other things that were
together. Just wait to see, perfect setup. What was your reaction when you saw them? Perfect timing,
yeah.
Some, what, a couple of men, a couple of women?
Yeah.
What is their relation amongst themselves?
Just all friends.
What does that mean these days? I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand, you know. Yeah.
Just weird colleague, and I suppose someone enjoys sex like
that. Pass each other around, time to time.
Yes, it's not.
Yeah, just have good work relations.
Yeah.
Nothing serious, but just, you know, recreation amongst them, right?
Yeah.
So. Happened to walk in, you go, wow, good luck. This is great luck, huh? What was their reaction when they saw you walking in the door?
They were surprised and in shock. And then they were more shocked than us. And then they were happy.
He's come back! He's come back! He's come back to the dead! So, you just had no hesitation about ordering the drink, huh? Just, I don't know how you do it. What do you do? As soon as you sit down, somebody comes up to the table?
No, you actually buy a drink.
Oh, you go up to the bar and get you a drink and come back and sit down. So you just walked straight in, got your own drink, and... I mean, you hadn't done that in how many months?
6, 7.
That was all. It's like... You never stop, huh? You just, it's just like, it all flows. You just walk up to the bar. Yeah. So without a hesitation, you just got your drink, huh? Were you ever thinking at any of those, during any of those moments leading up to this? I really shouldn't be. It's probably not so good.
Yeah, I was when I was walking down.
You were thinking while you were walking to Courtney Place that maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
But then something else said, go for it.
Yeah.
But just one night. How did you rationalize? You must have rationalized with yourself in some way.
I see how it goes. I'll just be a few jokes now, so I won't do that
So, okay, so you had sat down with your first drink, and everyone was in shock. And then what?
And then after my first drink, they would come for me.
Okay, help you out, then. let's get him back into the sadhana. Yeah, it was, you know, they were happy you were.
Yeah, they said I needed some retraining.
What did you say when they said that?
Yeah.
They knew you were into Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're happy you came back to the world of the dead, and said, so he needs some retraining how to be a zombie again.
Actually, that's just, it was just my mind.
What's that?
It was just one night. It was just one day down there.
Oh, they were reassuring you.
Yeah.
Preaching to you. Just one night. Put your head down. So then what were you thinking?
I think the drink is something that I think puts a bit in there.
What's that?
I'm not compromising. It's just a bit of a high aspect.
Everything just seemed like it was just right. That the alcohol does just makes.
Yeah.
Hmm? You gonna say something?
Yeah. I think a lot of people I'm around often they might call themselves a colleague or whatever word they need to do to confirm that we share some sort of bonding in some way, but I might be able to be drinking or something. I might not be drinking, I might have a drink. But I think for a lot of people, they accept I might go home and meditate to get to a higher form of consciousness within myself. Sometimes...
Go home from where?
From work or just playing music or just wandering. Going to a space where I can home the sensor within myself. I can get to a point of higher consciousness. For some of the people I'm around, they have the same mentality. Sometimes I have a drink, they don't realize, and sort of they need that to relax their body. They won't actually work at building it from, they can get that enlightenment without that alcohol, if you know what I mean.
We understand that you can get enlightenment without alcohol.
But sometimes they need maybe a drink or two first to then realize that it's up to them whether they want to manifest in their higher consciousness.
Oh, I see. So the one drink helps them to understand what their decisions would be.
Yeah, and then there's some. But then there's the people who drink too much and then they show bad energy.
Oh, so you should only drink enough to realize that you need enlightenment.
But then I believe that maybe they've already got a disruption within their energy, because no matter what you put into your body, you can choose over your decision where your consciousness goes.
Okay. So let's continue to hear Harold. So you were starting to feel a bit of a high. What is that like? High, it sounds like a desirable situation.
So relaxed and kind of happy.
You're just relaxed and kind of happy.
Yeah.
About what?
About
So it's just all something produced by the alcohol in your blood then, huh?
Yeah.
So then also, everyone's dancing. What's different about the next bar? So I'm trying to just understand all these details of material existence.
There's a different grounds, there's a different scene.
How's the scene different, though? It's all alcohol.
Yeah.
The main thing is the alcohol gets into your blood, right?
Yeah, it's kind of
you're bored with one club.
Yeah.
How's that?
Really?
What's exciting in the club in the first place? Before you get bored, what's exciting?
The music.
You actually talk to other people, or you just feel like you're a part of them? Even though you don't know them.
Yeah.
So it's this artificial feeling of excitement. Even though you don't know them. So how do you get tired of them if you don't know them? You just want to have new people around you,
yeah? Yeah.
Oh, I see. So what it is, they like taste different russes or different mellows in different pubs, is that it? You used to do this, Mallory? She was shaking her head. Really? So what was What attracted you to it? Nothing else to do, huh? Get some what? Get some what?
Street
what?
Street credibility
or what? Credibility? What do you call it?
Street cred.
I don't heard that before. So everybody can realize you were going to the Polytech at that time, huh? So all the friends would think that you're cool, huh?
Yeah.
The way you went?
That's
every group of young people have their special pub where they hang out. Is that where it works, then? And they feel like it's their spot. So whenever you're bored or just looking for somebody to talk to, you just go to your spot and you're for sure you'll find some of your gang there. Is that it? Oh, really? That stuff costs a lot of money, doesn't it? So you would do that? You would go to certain cafes? And So they, it's like, we could be reading about Dwarka or Mathura or Vrindavan, relishing the different flavors. So they go to these different pubs, and each one has a different seedy atmosphere, though. Different music at each one, different decor. But you don't know the people, so what difference does it make that it's different people? Or you think that, gradually you're going to get to know all the different people who hang at each pub, and you'll be able to recognize them next time you go back. Is that it? So that's what everybody does, they just go pub hopping. That's why they like having all these pubs in a row on Courtney Place, because you just go one to the other. See, what, you spend like an hour in each one? So, and then don't all your friends have to agree we're bored with this?
Yeah.
They say, hey, okay, we've been here enough, let's move on. What do I usually say? Yeah. So, the dancing part is what I don't understand. Because, when I would go to parties, the boys and girls would always dance together. Now it's not like that.
So what the boys and girls are still dancing.
Oh, men dance with each other?
Yeah, probably can dance
together. Are men not considered gay if they dance with each other?
Only in some of the bars that would be thought of like that. And in some of the bars would be fine.
Some of the bars would be thought of like that.
Yes, but you can seem to find that it's genreized different environments. Like people think, well, this hard work and this art and this type of beer becomes this lifestyle. It's almost like you're buying into the image that's sold with the beer.
Isn't it? And the ladies, they dance with other ladies?
Yeah.
That is always acceptable. Not for many things, but anyway, you say it's just one big throng anyway. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel when you what is that?
I can't really describe because.
So you just feel like it doesn't matter what you do, it's all feeling good. So there you are thrashing your limbs about or whatever they do. But here's the demonstration. I just trying to understand. It's like today I got Denver CD from him and I was listening to it. I like the Paloma Prabhupada chanting in my lunch room. We should do a whole CD like that. But I was trying, that's called techno, isn't it? That was, you know, the first time I really tried to figure out what it was. So there are people who just listen to that all day and all night. This would drive you crazy. Did anybody here do that? Just do it all day and all night? Anything like that? You? You? Anyone else?
Around music.
So it's really possible for a person to listen to techno music all day and all night. I mean, God, isn't that just drive you nuts? Or you just finally just become so dull and desensitized. Anyone else? You're a techno fan? Did you get you were? No one else? Do you want to see? So, and you can really discriminate between good stuff and bad stuff? It just sounds like it's just a steady beat, you know, and just with some other synthetic sounds added on top. And but there's some that are, you know, people are really famous, outstanding, you know, world class. All right, so there you are, Errol, in the middle of the floor, and you're totally getting wasted. So then what happens? Mm-hmm. And just keep dancing. How many hours? You started at what time? And you ended up at what time? A lot of work, you know? And you were dancing straight.
Well, the other time I was actually
very productive conversations.
I think we were just talking about work.
You leave work to talk about work. Everybody's talking about themselves, right?
Yeah.
How much did you spend altogether?
$70.
You start out, you thought you're just going to have a couple of drinks. So if you spend $70, how much did you end up drinking? How many drinks?
I think I should have a
Oh, that's an expected thing. You shout around.
Yeah.
All the friends do that to each other. All right, let's have another round. It's on me. Even you consider it, that's just expected, right? That means you're really mates, so that's just an ordinary thing. Alright, so the evening is the night, the morning is the progressing, and then, meanwhile, most of us, we're getting up, and that's our chanting Hare Krishna. Unknown to us, our friend Errol is, you know, yeah, you give us a demonstration. That was the latest. Come on. This is how, you know, that's how I learn things, you know, that's how I understand the different rasas that people are tasting. Is there some set one kind of dancing, or is it just whatever you want to do, or what is it? Oh, there's no, it's like, you know, there's no set routine, huh? You just, like, jump up and down according to how you like. So there's no, like, you know, popular, what do you call them, you know, styles or patterns or anything like that? Which, if you don't know, you're not considered cool. Not like that. Yeah? Not like that?
No,
it's not. Tammy used to come here sometimes?
Yeah, you know, dance club.
Oh, so it's not like a set, there's no styles anymore.
No, and
that's considered dancing. That's hey, you were a trance dancer, weren't you? That's a different thing altogether, trance dancing, right? Is that a different sampradaya, a different parampara? Is that a specialized thing, trance dancing? Or? But that's what he, but they say they're doing that anyway. So how's, what's so special about trance dancing? Oh, the trance dancing is from the ecstasy pills, huh? and it's different from the guys who just drink beer. Really? You thought that? You thought that? But that's what Easy does. He's doing. What's the difference? It's the difference of the substance, right? You're expressing yourself, right? So you're out there on the dance floor, or whatever, with all your friends, and they group together, and you just. Whatever you do. So then, an hour after hour passes like that. Why? But why did you stop? Why did you leave the pub? You get hung over that quickly, huh? Oh, the alcohol, it goes down that quickly? So the reaction comes that quick, huh? Just after some hours? Oh. And then you start to pay the price in a way that's obvious to you. You were paying the price in the beginning, then you start to pay the price in a way that's obvious. Alright, so it's 7 in the morning, and all of a sudden you start feeling you're coming down or something. You're conscious of your body and it's how sore it is and tired. And you also get conscious of how you're tired of hearing your friends talk about themselves. You know, you start thinking that? Okay, I've heard enough of this. It's the same old stuff I hear every week. So are they trying to figure out which one of them is going to go take one of the girls home, or which of the girls, like, which guys are going to take home, or?
Some people get it.
They go home alone, or just?
Yeah, we all could actually.
The ladies too. The ladies aren't afraid to be drunk and just to go home. That's normal. Drunk ladies go home by themselves. So that you got a taxi, and then? Time on our techniques.
Yeah.
For how long?
The next
one. Really, after you get hung over for 2 days, huh?
It's a long time, sir.
So, what do you think? Was it worth it? Gosh, did you ever come here and plunk down $70? Well, he came here and, okay, Carrie, here's 70. I want the best prasad. I want, you know. Never did that. Yeah. So what was the difference in the effect? You go to a bar and you hand over 70 and hung over for 2 days. So when you saw your friends again at work after, what were they saying? Yeah, good time, Iroh.
Yeah, well, I
don't
see nice gonna get in a couple months to sleep and see. Quite so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all the crew stand down there.
The word had spread, huh?
The word had spread that I'd gone out on Friday night and given it Sunday night. Yeah, no, it was great. It's nice to see you down
here. It's like, you know, if you, you know, somebody doesn't come here for a while, like, oh, it's nice you're back, you know. You can see it's just two different worlds, you know. They're not going to agree. What's acceptable in one is totally unacceptable in the other. So they said, welcome back, Earl. You came back to your senses, in other words, they were saying. You know what a good time is again. Well, the girls were happy too that you were on the active list again.
Yeah.
Really, they told you that?
Yeah.
What did they say? You still have my phone number. Right?
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty forward like that these days, huh?
Yeah.
Just, but give us some real life quotes from the actors. This is how I get research. So it's not anthropological research.
You know.
It's a primitive tribes.
Thank you, Jim. So you're still solving.
My gosh. We get right to the point, huh? You see, I just want you to understand all these things I say in class. I have thoroughly researched. I know this is where people are at. So they actually just come right out and say to you, are you still celibate? It's a pretty loud thing for a lady to say.
More than today.
So what do you say then? What do you say?
Yes, sir. I'm still celibate.
What do they say? Was that your loud hint to you?
Yes.
So what did he say to that?
I just stood back and just started thinking about it.
I don't want to go this way.
Yeah. Thinking about I've been good for so long and I just wonder what anything starts to change. Just make me
So I guess this social scene for the people who work for Air New Zealand, it's a part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a huge social scene, especially with
the Latinos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a cult of its own, huh? Yeah. Flight attendants. Pilots, that's a different...
So
they go to their own pubs. They don't go to the kind of pubs you go to.
Sometimes I do.
They don't like them. Yeah, the flight attendants are considered just like, you know, Bugs, and Pilot is a, you know, like a corporate executive, huh?
Yeah.
So they have their own special, plus they're probably older too, right?
Yes, so they might, yeah.
So they have their own special places they go to.
Yeah.
So, when did you start feeling regret?
Today, as early as I was, when I woke up my stomach, it's not at home. I was like, oh, that's sleep.
Mm-hmm. Really, oh, I really blew it. So now?
So, now it's, now I'm trying to change the
But what we're trying to understand is how you actually just decided to nail yourself that day. That's when that ever happened to anyone here while as they were starting to become Krishna conscious, you just one night just. You ever do that, Stu? Yeah? Just figure. What?
I think it was just say what I was
thinking. You just had to check it out, huh? So, can you describe, just like heraldic, can you describe it? So you just, but I mean, if you want to hear the play-by-play account. So, this, they call that here, the sports thing, play-by-play account. You can't say that in rugby because it's always moving. So, yeah, just, you've been coming to the loft, and you've been chanting, and how much? How much had you been chanting? Right. So just one Friday night, you just said. And they just said, come on over, or you said, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
So you can just hand you some drinks. So. Of course, you knew what would happen before you went over there, right?
Yeah. I'm expecting this.
You can handle it, meaning you only smoke one.
No, I won't. I'll just take this.
Well, then what happens? You sit down and then.
It's too easy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So many have gone through this stuff. This is. I'll take it just, you know, for some time. Deviant, you know, you will. On your way to becoming Krishna conscious.
It's not reaffirming what you really are.
Reaffirm, that's a good way to say it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just want to be sure.
Yeah.
So what were your conclusions afterwards?
Well, at that time I was going to the lot, I was still hanging on the fringe quite a bit. But after that trip,
I guess since everyone's telling this story, I can tell you my last days. Sometimes I would smoke marijuana and read the Krishna book at the same time, thinking I'll combine the best kinds. I just remembered that. Yeah, I figured, well, you know, just combine the best of both worlds. You know, that was cool. I said, this Krishna book is so amazing. It's the most amazing book I've ever read. So naturally, you know, once you be in the proper frame of mind for reading Krishna book. Yeah, you know, just like, you know, if you're going to listen to Jimi Hendrix, you would do that. So, you know, it was honoring the Krishna book. So, then gradually, what do you think I realized? What do you mean I realized after that? Right, I realized, Adam, well, you know, what do I need this stuff for, you know? Yeah,
but it took you four days to realize that? Like, going to...
I hadn't started chanting Hare Krishna, though. I hadn't started chanting Hare Krishna. I was just reading the books. I just liked the books. I hadn't started chanting at all. I just was reading this Krishna book. Wow, this is amazing what this Krishna does. This, you know, it's fantastic. This is definitely worth, you know, a good high. So then I was reading and Bradley started, you know, I think maybe just a couple of times I realized, wait a minute, what do you need the marijuana for? The book is good enough. So I had a big stash of premium. So I remember it was Christmas time, so I just called up, you know, my friends, and I just started giving them various packages, you know. I just started, you know, just gave it all away, and they were just looking at me like, man, what's happening? Crazy, this is great stuff. Okay, you want to give it away? Fine. Best friend ever had. I just gave it all away. And then I remember I had a little bit left, so I, you know, just these big apartment buildings in New York City, they have incinerator shafts where people put their waste. It's in the hallway and just goes down a chute all the way down to the bottom where, you know, it's collected. So I just took the last and threw it down the incinerator chute. I never told my friends I was interested in Krishna consciousness, but then I remember my main friend told me, and I never mentioned anything to him. One day he told me, what's going on? What's happening? It's not the same anymore. You're hallucinating. What's happening? What are you doing? What's happening? You know, you think materialists can feel that, you know, you just start entering a different realm. I said, wow, I'm going to have to find another mate. You're just, you know, it's not the same. That's the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness. You think you can kind of, you know, no, I'll notice. But I didn't notice. So of course, once I, you know, I you know, once I started chanting Hare Krishna, I was following the regular principles before I started chanting, because the books convinced me at least that much of the regular principles, and then maybe 6 weeks later after, you know, because I remember of course my family was meat eater family, and I remember I just gradually stopped eating meat. So I was following all the principles before I started to share, because the books had convinced me that meat eating was bad. And at the same time also, I gave my fiance, and I gave her an engagement ring. You know, it's going to be legit. That was Christmas of 72. Pretty sure it wasn't. So it was a brahmachari in February of 73. Basically, you know, wow. Now that I think of it, it must be pretty heavy, you know? Somebody brings you an engagement ring on Christmas Day, December 25th. And by February 1st, I said, you know, that's like 35 days later, I was gone. I guess in the lady's eyes, it's a real pressure, isn't it? Well, you know, being a typical man, I wasn't so much concerned about her emotional reactions on me. She was pretty cool and calm when I gave her the engagement ring, so I thought, well, okay. And then when I left, I thought, there's no big deal. She was cool and calm when I gave it to her, so she'll be cool and calm when I leave. All makes sense. Not like that, though. I think the late ladies were, she was cool and calm when I gave it to her, but she, you know, you don't reveal how attached you are, right? That way it works. You don't put your cards on the table. You always keep the man guessing.
What made you decide after that engagement happened?
Well, because I was reading in the Bhagavatam that said that, you know, there should be honorable, you know, male-female relationships. No, I had. Girlfriend is, you know, no big deal, but, you know, I guess it's just because there's nothing else to do in life. Mainly I was into music scene. Deep into your music scene. So, I guess it was a real shocker for her. Now that I think of it, I never thought about it all these years. Someone gives you an engagement ring and you get 35 days later, man, gone? To be a monk? I never thought about that. After I left February 1st, after I left, she came to the temple and Prabhupada was there. I saw she had the ring on a different finger. I said, you lies in the ring. Just on a different finger. But I left, now that I think of it, that was really it. She was cool and calm when I gave it to her, so I figured she'll be cool and calm when I, you know, ease out the door. But years later, people would tell me, oh, she was so attached. I didn't know. I didn't know. Although, maybe, I think, 3 years after, you know, how many years? Yeah, 2 years after I became a devotee, she sent me an envelope, you know, a letter, you know, with an earring inside. I still didn't get the hint. You know, just a little, you know, how are you doing, this and that and the other. And, you know, nothing overt, but just an earring inside. And, why is she putting an earring in? She, you know, she's, and I figured, you know, while she was, while she's putting the letter into the envelope, her earring fell off, and she didn't know it, and she sealed it. I was like, oh. You know, I was just absorbed in, you know, the Chaitanya Charitamrita book production marathon then, so, you know, I just, earring? Earring in the envelope. That's it. I was supposed to get the hint, though. I was supposed to get the hint from that, from the earring. That's supposed to be a classic sign. No, you've never done anything like that. But you're hearing, you know, these days, if you don't waste your jewelry like that. So, you know, I just. And then once she even called on the telephone, because I had a home, you know, to do the production work. Yeah, we just started chatting to her about Prabhupada's books and the purpose. His purpose is so wonderful. And she's going, oh, I see. And you know, I'm just going on and on and on. I didn't realize at the time, you know. I just thought everybody would be interested in Krishna. I don't know what they hear these things. But she was pretty cool. She didn't say anything overt, you know. But I guess I'm supposed to get the hint from all that, huh? Then I think, when I went to Germany in 78, it was 5 years after I became a devotee, then she sent a letter to Germany saying, I'll become Krishna conscious if you teach me. That one, then I recognized that one. Sure, yeah. All right. So I sent her a message back. There's so many temples you can go to, they'll teach you how to be Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. Well, I know. That letter was it. It's been 5 years and I haven't seen you. I still love you. A different kind of love, but still love. Which brings me to a question. Can I fly over to Germany and visit you? By that time I got to him, you know, pretty loud. So I remember I gave the letter to a Brahmachari, an older Brahmachari. Actually, it was a Vihasta lady. I said, can you please write this? And then you tell her something.
Maybe your energy and your freedom within your shaped sense of path going towards Krishna. And she doesn't even know why she really likes you, really. And that's maybe that. She was you actually, in some form, way, spread the word of Krishna.
Of course, she came and heard Srila Prabhupada, so she'll get this very little benefit for that. She took her side. Anyway, so I guess it was really an insult when you write. She wrote me, and I had another, you know, woman write her back. I didn't think about that either. I just thought, you know, it was a good, you know, brahmachari type thing to do, you know. This woman has written you a letter, you know, you give it to another lady, you know. I explained, you know, like, you know, she's very educated by now, she's probably a PhD right now, whatever. You know, I don't want to blow her out, so you just please write her a letter. I thought I was being very, you know, considerate. Because now I understand. The first thing, so you know, when she got letters, she'll think, "Well, she's probably got him, not me," or something like that. Or even if she didn't think like that, it's just an insult, you know. For you know, you write a man, you get a letter back from him. So we've all been through these experiences. These stuff, Harold, you don't have to feel. You know, you're a demon now. Like you heard Stu, he went through his certain situations. I remember that once I started chanting Hare Krishna, I started one bead a day. Once I started, look at him going, yeah, one bead a day. What do I tell people about their amazed? It was just, I was laying in bed early one morning at 7:30, and I just come back from clubs. I think New York is salsa clubs. So just laying in bed 7:30 and got back at 2 a.m. So I just went for the music. I didn't drink anything. Just music. I just asked for orange juice. So, of course, my fiance was very happy just going to clubs. She was into this. That was her trip. And she would criticize me because I just went on a Friday night. I just want to read.
Do you think I'm going to be happy just hanging around while you read? You got to take me somewhere I can be seen. Thank you.
Those are, I just remember those are exact words. You got to take me somewhere I can be seen. I remember trying to figure this out. Take you somewhere where you can be seen. What does that mean? So, it's 7:30, and I had gotten some Jaffa beads. I forgot how I got them. I got them from Cody's on the street or something that they gave me to me. And I thought I'd never use those. But they were sitting on my bedstead, so I figured, maybe I should try. Let's see what this chanting is like. So I remember laying in bed, and I just kind of fingered one bead. Okay, that's enough. Beads down. And the next day I did two beads. And I think maybe after, I don't know. All I know is I started off one bead a day, two beads a day, three beads a day, and then somehow or other I got, I think maybe after, you know, 4 days I did my first round. And then I think from one round I shot up very quickly. So by the time I moved into temple, I was 13 at this point. So once I started chanting one bead, I never looked back. So I guess a different kind of situation, because I basically just, I was following the principle before I started chanting. Because the books convinced me to follow it. So you see that you're not a demon, you know, but you just have to become smarter. How old are you now? 28. You should be wise about all this stuff by now. Are you still chanting? Oh, when did you stop? So this was, you stopped chanting before you, yeah, that's why you got nailed. Yeah. Why did you stop?
License.
Well, how much were you chanting up till then? So you stopped chanting and got hit with a flood of illusion. That ever happened to anyone here? You stopped chanting and Ezra? What happened? Is that when you and Shara took off the sun? Did you guys go on some holiday somewhere together? Just the two of you? These guys are so young, what are they doing this stuff for? He wasn't even 18, were you 16 yet? You just turned 16. What is this? Ruining their lives at such a young age. I remember when they first came to the law. Yeah, this is what we're doing. But by Krishna's grace, both of them started practicing Krishna consciousness. That's very nice. It's not necessary that anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness who has a boyfriend or girlfriend that they separate. If both persons become Krishna conscious, that's very good. I don't think because I did what I did that you have to do like that. You started chanting for a while, then stopped? Are you going to hear us? Try to see anything stop?
No.
No? For how long? Got you sorry, did you stop? You just kept going. And what would make you start again? Yes. You never stop. So you said it goes. I'll watch. For how long? Are you upset? For how long did you stop? And then what made you start again?
I didn't stop for a long
time. I just wanted to lament it. So then when it was all over, you started again.
Yes.
I have no more situation for you on that. So, if both you and Shara feel certain that he was hearing the holy name at his last moment, he was conscious until the last moment, and then... Within how much time? Most persons haven't experienced anyone dying. But you were there. You were sick.
Which, you were sick for Dr. Fox. He went for a blood test and they gave wrong result.
Wrong what?
Wrong blood result.
Wrong blood result.
Instead of giving 4% of hemoglobin, they gave 11%. So he was feeling very bad, so he thought we should go to the hospital, and we just went inside he just got into the car, and then he couldn't sit there, it was so hot. He just opened the door and he fell over, and I said just call the doctor in a few minutes, otherwise I'm off. And then my mom ran and got some Ganges water to give him. I was just drinking, and then and the taxi driver took off, and then I was going to
the... Taxi driver took off without him?
Yeah. You know,
India. India? Taxi driver took off without him. Guys, he's dying, the taxi driver just...
So she thinks if someone died in your car...
Right, you get a police inquiry, so... So the taxi driver just takes off, leaves him on the ground there? And of course, did the hospital pay any money for giving him the wrong thing?
When I went to the hospital to call the doctor, he said, I got a headache, I just need to take a coffee, so it's just about to die. I'll be there soon, and I came back to his car for his lighting, just passed, and then everyone was crying, my mom and my grandma. The doctor turned up later on, and then he asked for the eye donation.
Mm-hmm.
And then
one of the eyes.
Yeah, he took the eyes, and then he left.
What did they do with the eyes?
They just,
study them? So you didn't acknowledge fault for giving him wrong?
It's very common, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyone else? In Los Angeles, when a man about 38 just suddenly appeared when I was living in the temple. He had, it was such an experience.
Yeah.
He had this perfect childhood, not childhood, teenage romance. It's, you know, he was about 18, and his girlfriend was about 18, they married, and they just had perfect romance. They just never did anything separate. Can even brush their teeth separately. So there's just, you know, and you know, they had a son, and you know, the son, you know, they all loved the son so much. It was such a tight family, you know, just the perfection of whatever, you know, intense relationship. But, so he said one day she had to go drive somewhere. She went to pick someone up, and she took her 12 year, at that time his son was 12 years old, and he went to work, he was a chef, so while he's at work, he gets this phone call, some kind of police investigator, and as soon as he heard the voice, the man announced himself, and you know, he got this premonition, you know. And then he told him that his wife was in a severe accident, she was in the hospital. The doctors kept telling him, if she comes out of coma, don't tell her that her son is dying. And he kept saying, I can't do that. I mean, I've never lied to her in my life, you know? The doctors kept saying, if you do that, she never, you know, it'll kill her. But, you know, he said, look, I can't do that, you know? What would, you know, if I tell her, it'll make kill her, and if I don't tell her, and later she finds out, it'll kill her. So, both later will be both the fact that the son died and I didn't tell her. So he said, it's like, you know, it was like, cool, like Arjuna in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what do I do? He said, the doctor said, if I tell her, she'll die. And if I don't tell her, I know she'll die. She'll die both from the fact that her son died and from the fact that I lied to her. First time, one of these kind of relationships, you know. So, can imagine the dilemma. There was this wife and coma, they were together through everything for 12 years, raising their son, perfect harmonious family, kind of family that, you know, like people are into, that you dream of, bonded completely, you know. So, you know, caring and considerate for each other at every step. One of those kind of relationships. I don't know if you've ever seen some couples like that. They just really just, you know, I just really get into it. So, he was there one day, and sure enough, she comes out of a coma. And what's the first thing she says when she comes out of a coma?
She asked how it's coming.
Where's my son? I guess, you know, the emotional attachment of a woman for her son is so much that it probably brought her out of the coma. Probably just, you know, came out of this unconsciousness. The first thing she said, where's my son? And he told her, he said, you know, very gently, you'll make it. And then she just looked at him, turned her head away, and refused to look at him again. He knew what was going to happen. He went home, and a couple hours later, he got in the coat, and she was dead. And as soon as he said, he didn't make it. He just looked away. That was it. Because, of course, you know what she was thinking. I killed my son. Because she had fallen asleep while driving. Him into his head on her lap. So he broke, he died immediately, the doctor said, from a broken neck. And she had all such a head injuries. So, you know, she just, the guilt, just, you know, first of all, that her son was dead, and secondly, that because she fell asleep at the wheel, he was dead. She just, even though her beloved husband was there, she just, looked at him when she heard that, looked away. That was it. He knew too. She's gone. He's gone. And sure enough, 2 hours later, the phone call. She died. So he was just shattered. He said he couldn't go anywhere. He's one of those couples that the whole city knows about and loves. I don't know if you ever, you know, met, you know, couples like that. Everyone knows about them. And, real popular. Actually, now that I think of it, I was like that. I died a different way. So, he said, you know, he wanted to lament, you know, the typical way you lament, you go to a pub, you know, with, you know, where your friends are. But he said he couldn't do that because as soon as he'd walk into a pub, you know, where he used to hang out, everyone would just start bursting into tears, thinking, you know, feeling sorry for them, because everyone knew them as the classic couple, you know, the fun couple, you know. And so, as soon as he walked into the pub with his, you know, where his old haunts, everyone in the pub would just start crying, you know. They couldn't enjoy anymore. So finally he realized he had to leave town. So he used to like to camp outdoors, just, you know, not even tent, sleeping bag, you know, 15 below zero weather. So he would just walk with his pack, he would just walk and walk and walk and walk. For 5 years he was just devastated. The loss of his wife and son all in one home. He told me that he was at work, he was a chef, and, you know, just not doing anything right, just so affected by the loss. So he remembers one day the boss came up to him, after 30 days after the fatalities, the boss came up to him and said, you know, you're just going to have to get over this. And he said, he just grabbed the boss, threw him up against a soda machine and said, you know, you're just going to have to get over this. Screw him into the machine, you know. So, immediately the boss went and got some security to escort him off the place to get rid of him, you know. Then the rest of the chefs, they got really angry. They said, how can you fire this guy, you know? How can you just go up to somebody who has lost their wife and son all at the same time and say, no, you should get over this. Have you ever lost your wife and son? How can you do that? Okay, I'll hire him back, but, you know. guy who just took it and ran with it. So I use it walking in the wilderness. Montana, Idaho, places like that. And so you just walk and walk and walk in the wilderness. But walking around a desert road in that area, and not familiar. So he was walking on a trail, and he got to the end of the trail, and he said out loud to himself, "I got all the way to the end of the trail. Still haven't got what I want." He was looking for a hot spring. That was, supposed to be somewhere in the city. So he got to the end of the trail and walked off as far, still didn't get what I want. And then he heard a voice behind him saying, things can't be that bad, can they? And so it was another person who, just out of the blue, coming from somewhere else in the wilderness, and just heard him saying that to himself. Come all this far, and still didn't get what I want. So the other person happened to be someone who frequented Krishna Gaza's temples. So they just they started talking in the middle of the wilderness, no one around for kilometers. These two guys happened to meet up, and so the person, like a friend of Krishna, started telling them all about Krishna consciousness. And the guy had a lot of misconceptions at first. You're not supposed to take those people seriously. I mean, the ones singing and dancing in the street. He started listening, and then he decided, that sounds like what I want to get into. So he walked out of the desert, and he went to Los Angeles, and he just came walking into the temple. So they told him, it's not like we have any shelter here for just anybody. You have to have certain standards. So he said, what are the standards? So they told him. So he started doing everything immediately. So we see that so many different ways. Experiences we've all been through. But if you stop your chanting, you start again. Bad association will do it every time. So now what are you going to explain to your friends?
I felt like a discussion with somebody.
What did you tell them?
Because they kind of turned out to me and told me that I'm going to get out.
They're really working on you now. They really want to make sure that you don't bloop. They want to make sure you stay in the right consciousness.
And I've said my first thing that I lost when I was in prison. You haven't been for long. This morning. And I asked if someone put a star question for me. And I said, yes, and I said, I don't know. And I said, but didn't you go out for 5 minutes? I said, didn't you have fun? I said, well, I have it. I said, well, I don't have fun because it wasn't what I really wanted. And I said, well, you did have fun because you were down here.
Man, I wanted to convince you, You did have fun. So what did you say when they...
The fun that I wanted. And then I said, which is fun? Which is more fun? Going out or going to the rock? I said, going to the rock. And then they said, oh, okay. And then they said, are you sure you don't want to be sure?
So this guy is really out of it. Which is more fun? But that was a Thursday. This is a Thursday. So they're warming up, huh?
Yes.
Warming up for Friday night. Well, you stopped chanting, so that leaves you wide open for attacks. So now the word will spread again, huh? He's had a momentary relapse. Hmm.
let us all pray to Krishna that we can
remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we may stub our toe, but we should pick ourselves up, keep going. What about you, Donna? You always chant it and you didn't stop. The same with you, Madhuri? Reduced. So how did you feel when you reduced? But being around family all the time, just talking useless things. That's what really gets you, huh? You finally realize that, Jen, you couldn't anymore just shoot the breeze with your family anymore. Not because you didn't want to, but it's just so frustratingly boring. You watch how actually everybody likes to talk about themselves. Or you in relation to them. That's it. That's extended company. People want to be appreciated so badly. So you can see that good association is very necessary. We all need each other. So that Errol doesn't go to the pub, he has to have good camaraderie here. Here the camaraderie is for fighting illusion. But at the pub you'll find camaraderie for how to stay in illusion. Pretty sure Errol is sure it's more fun. My friend asked me, are you sure? You sure you want to go to the pub? Is it really more fun? And he said, yeah, I think so. So then they didn't know what to say to that, huh? Yeah, he's found something that's more fun. It's not our type of fun. No, that's the other thing. That's not our type. Well, you know, you just got one of those kind of party bodies. You gotta, you know, realize that and take steps to protect yourself. Okay, so I do some very interesting personal testimonies tonight. What do you think, Shara? Very interesting. Now you see it's possible. You can become a saint. It wasn't that everyone was, you know, an angel before they walked in here. Except you, yes, she was. Juliet, she got a bucket of pizza. Dr. John, she wrote this letter. Did you write the letter to her? Carrie, why did you write the letter? Oh, you met Carrie first. Oh, tell us about it. Gee, at least you felt sorry for her back then. Little did you know, soon this lady would be ordering you around. You should have kept walking, huh? So you felt sorry for her? What did you do? What did she say? Three hours. You remember that, Carrie? Why did you talk to her for 3 hours? Because you didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness at that point, huh? So then, did you get a book then? So then, you didn't get a book? You didn't give her a book, huh? A book. After 3 hours of talking to you. You didn't think that if you talked, if she was sincere enough to talk to you for 3 hours, you could. Yeah. That's generally, you know, generally we always have something, but still, we talked to you for 3 hours. You wanted the book, though, huh? So if she had said, okay, I'll give you the book and then you can send in the money, would you have done that? So then what happened next? You kept meeting her? We still didn't have any money, huh? So you didn't ask for a book? She didn't ask you to take a book, you just talked, huh? You didn't ask her to get a book? Oh, that's what it takes. I see. Now the truth comes out. Carrie was too nice, huh? Yes, see. So what did John tell you? How much did you give him? She got the book and then what? Then you started reading. Which one? So when did you write your letter? She wrote this letter.
I'm sick of the material world. I want to be a Hare Krishna. I met this guy with big lips. And I bought a Bhagavad Gita from him.
I remember asking her, after I was reading the letter, well, you know, who is she talking about? She, well, it sounds like John. She meant John. So then what? There's so much to carry, let's see. She showed you the path of Krishna consciousness. There's always remember that. That is one of the three types of spiritual masters, Vakna Pradarshika, the one who first shows you the path.
All right.
very interesting tales tonight that we hear from. There's Satya and Ezra, there's Harold, we're here from Stu, we're from Juliet. A little bit from. And a little bit from. All right, let's. I guess you go ahead and take a look for some. I think there's. This is our version of, what do they call that new kind of TV, reality television? Huh? Real TV, this is our version of real TV. Thank you.